And we continue at 106 in the afternoon. Talk Radio 790 KABC, the John Phillips Show, broadcasting live in exile from the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa Living Room Studios. And it's time to fully reopen the state of California for business. Mr. Randy Wags at the sports desk in Culver City.
John, it has now been 51 days since the L.A. City Council redistricting racist scandal began, and Kevin De Leon and Gil Cedillo have still not resigned. So for the 51st day in a row, it's time for Kevin De Leon to recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
Madam President, today is Tuesday and time for the flag salute.
Mr. De Leon, can you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance this morning?
Thank you very much, Madam President. It would be an honor. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm kind of surprised that for the pledge, they don't have one of those little video screens like you get during karaoke with all of the words written out for you.
Well, this is when they were still on Zoom. So maybe when they're in person, they could hand him a script. But he won't know because he's not going in person to a city council meeting anytime soon.
Just imagine if you put the wrong thing in there. It's supposed to be the Pledge of Allegiance, but you put the lyrics for I Will Survive in the screen.
And, you know, today was the first L.A. City Council meeting since the Thanksgiving break. And usually I would have tape for you of the protesters shouting down Paul Krikorian. But they tried a new strategy. They blocked the protesters from entering the building.
How did they do that?
With the police. And so the pissed off protesters from all the different organizations, including LA Can and BLM LA, they started passing out flyers with their list of demands. We demand that Kevin De Leon resign. We demand that you stop enforcing homeless encampment ordinances. We demand that you cut the LAPD's budget. And you demand that you stop letting us be banned from protesting in front of your houses.
It doesn't have the same punch as it does when they get bleeped out on Channel 35.
No. I mean, what now? I actually have to watch a city council meeting with a policy debate? It was so much fun. We had five straight weeks of just the filthiest things you've ever heard on television.
What are you going to do? 800-222-KABC is the phone number. 1-800-222-5222. It is a pleasure to welcome our next guest to the program. He was the spokesman for the group that successfully got the recall of California Warden Gavin Newsom on the ballot, Mr. Randy Economy. Randy Economy, welcome.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hey, can we talk about the trench mouth at the LA City Council? These guys are unbelievable. Get me in, let's see. Let's get all of the Gavin Newsom recall people. I guess we had about, 350,000 or 400,000 signatures from L.A. County. Get those. Bring the team back. Reunite the band. And let's start doing some recalls there in L.A. City. Immediately.
Well, if you want to change the direction of that government,
obnoxious. Yeah.
You're going to need to recall more than three of them.
Well, you know what? I think that's okay. And I think right now we have gotten a... You know, there is no such thing as not having an election season here in California. We vote literally all the time. And I know that we're trying to consolidate elections, doing them once every 2 years. And I think the magic of what it is that we have here is we really do live in a people-based democracy. And if we don't like the way our elected officials are conducting themselves, whether it be in their personal lives, in their political lives or in their elected lives, we have the opportunity, and we also, I think, have the obligation, John, to take it upon ourselves to do the heavy lifting and to get these people into a recall situation and removal from office. There's no reason in the world why Kevin De Leon is still in office. None whatsoever, zero. And I don't know what the status is of a recall against him. I haven't kept up with it minute by minute. But something has to happen and it's got to happen fast.
Explain to us what the special sauce is, because we've had so many attempted recalls in this state, whether it's of Kevin De Leon, which I think they've had two or three that have failed. They had one against George Gascon that everyone thought was going to qualify for the ballot. That turned out not to work out. Why is it that you guys were able to do it statewide for Gavin Newsom, and we haven't been able to get any of the others on the ballot?
I think the main thing is that we were organized, and we were organized from a top-down and bottom-up way, and it's all about making sure that you give the proper tools to people who want to be engaged and involved in politics and in campaigns. And what we ended up doing is we had, I think, close to 200,000 volunteers that physically went out and passed petitions during a 10-month period. And when you get that sort of a groundswell, you're going to have success. The other thing is, when you have political operatives, and I'm talking about paid political consultants, who come in and say, well, we're going to be in charge of the recall, that's a red flag. And I think what happened with the Gascon recall is we had too many paid political consultants feather their nest, make millions of dollars of money that was raised from unsuspecting donors from throughout not only Los Angeles County when it came to Gascon, but throughout the country, thinking that that money was going to go ahead and get this thing on the ballot. And it was, to me, it's just as criminal of what took place on that Gascon recall as what took place and is taking place every day inside the district attorney's office. So two rights don't make a wrong, but again, you have to have the passion, you have to have the conviction, and you have to have the people. And I think that's what we had with the Newsom recall. And our job was to get that thing on the ballot, and we did it. Now, after it got on the ballot, you know, then it was up to the individual candidates to make their case to become the next governor. And sadly, you know, Gavin Newsom and his well-oiled machine ended up spending $125 million on the recall campaign to keep him in the office. But I do want to tell you one thing, John. You know, he recently got reelected, but, you know, the man is not invincible. And as far as I'm concerned, this state is so out of control under his leadership. And now we're facing, a $25 billion deficit? Well, Gavin Newsom did this, and only Gavin Newsom did this. And as far as I'm concerned, we should really seriously think of starting another recall on him in 2023. You know, just because you failed at the ballot box in 2020 during this or 2021, it doesn't mean that the guy's invincible. And he's got to be held accountable for his failed policies. And thank God we have the recall mechanism and trigger available to us to be able to make this happen. I will personally help lead that recall against him next year if we need to get to this point, because we cannot live in a society where, you know, he has ultimate power and authority over 40 million lives, and we're now at a $25 billion deficit. Where'd the money go? Well, we know where the money went. He just doled it out as fast as he could.
You mentioned that $25 billion budget deficit. One of your criticisms of Gavin Newsom during the recall campaign was all of the money that was fleeced by EDD, something like $30 billion. And you look at the $25 billion that we have in a budget deficit right now, and you say to yourself, man, I wish we didn't transfer $30 billion over from EDD to criminals.
You know, and I get it. And EDD is, it's basically just a failed, and I want to say criminal enterprise. But it has failed in every way imaginable. And I don't know how you clean it up unless you just dissolve the actual entire concept of how we got there with the EDD and revitalize it and build another better mousetrap, so to speak. I mean, people are still unemployed. People are still hurting financially. You know, gas prices, I think here in the Coachella Valley, John, where you and I live, I saw a $7 a gallon gas yesterday, you know, and we got, you know, I ended up getting my $350 California CARES card a couple of days ago, which is supposed to go ahead and not, you know, help pay for the extra gas. I thought it was a joke when I got this ATM card in the mail. And I'm thinking, what are we, it's just, we have to continue to be organized. We have to continue to hold the people accountable from the top all the way down. And that also includes Karen Bass, who's coming in as mayor now. I mean, her big claim to fame so far is she's keeping all of Eric Garcetti's staff for the next 3 or 4 months. Because she doesn't have time to be able to figure out how to do a transition. It's pathetic.
She is going to turn into the third term of Eric Garcetti.
She already has, because she's taken all of her staff with him. She's taken all of his staff with her. It was in the, you know, LA Times yesterday. Huge story. You know, because she just hasn't had time to be able to put it together in 3 weeks. Well, we didn't vote for Eric Garcetti to have, you know, 4 more years as the mayor of Los Angeles. I bet you Rick Caruso wouldn't have done that.
We're speaking with Randy Economy, who you can follow on Twitter at Economy Radio. That's Economy Radio on Twitter. Randy, recently the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, said that he spoke with President Joe Biden and promised him that he would not challenge him in the 2024 Democratic primary. Do you believe him?
I don't believe anything out of that guy's mouth, and nor should any of us. Of course he wants to be the president of the United States. I just hope that he has another recall campaign against him in 2023. You know, I mean, wouldn't that be poetic justice where, you know, once again, he doesn't do his work here at home, and he's running around trying to define himself as a national player. And, you know, Joe Biden better watch his back, because Gavin Newsom is right there stabbing him 15 ways sideways, and his really dear friend Kamala Harris. You know, it's apparent what this guy wants to do. And it's not by chance that he is spending, you know, millions of his own political money, dollars from his donors, you know, putting up billboards and running campaigns in Florida and Iowa and other places right now, because he wants to run for president. I mean, we don't even know where the guy was for his vacation for Thanksgiving. And we're still trying to figure out where he was for Thanksgiving.
What do you think he ultimately wants to do? Because we know that he wants to be president, but if Biden's running for re-election in 2024, if you go at Biden, you better beat Biden. Because if you go at him and you lose, you are going to be a pariah within the Democratic Party. So maybe he ran the number.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Numbers. Maybe he had conducted some polls and he determined that he couldn't win if he ran against Joe Biden in a Democratic primary. What do you think he wants to do? You think he wants to knock Kamala out and be the vice president? You think he wants a cabinet post? You think he wants to go to the U.S. Senate? Or do you think he wants to just term out as governor and make a ton of money in the private sector and maybe try to run as a rich guy the next time around?
Well, he is a rich guy. He doesn't need any more money. And, you know, he's lived a very coddled, very privileged lifestyle for his entire life. You know, he's got the silver spoon syndrome of what it is do I want to do now when I grow up? And I think he just looks at this as a game. And I think his ego is not going to not allow him to run for president. He's going to be running. Heaven help America when he starts doing his roadshow and his clown act all over the place. It's going to just fall over like a lead balloon. I can hardly wait for him to self implode. We can do so much better in this state. We have so many problems. He continues just to make a mockery of the system. And that's what he's doing. He's making a mockery of the governorship of California.
Your history in California politics, you used to be a Democratic consultant, and then you changed parties. So you know a lot of elected Democrats at all levels, federal, state, local, here in the state of California. You still talk to them on a regular basis. When
Very
you talk
so.
To them about Gavin Newsom, what do they say?
They snicker. They snicker behind his back. But they know that they're stuck with him. And I think there's becoming an awakening. And I look at even some of the socialists who are taking over the city of Los Angeles for a number of different city council seats. Even they're not fans of Gavin Newsom. I mean, he's not liberal enough for them, and he's too conservative for everybody else. So I think he's become. He's become a caricature of his own self. And when I mean that, I don't mean that as somebody out of central casting. I mean somebody who's been completely miscasted, even though he's got the looks and the mannerisms and the whole package to be a governor or a president. I think he's at that level of incompetency now.
Well, and you get to a point in California where if you are a termed out governor, there's really no place for you to go.
Well,
becoming the U.S. Senator.
Feinstein's Senate seat is open in 2024. He can run for that. He could. I don't think if she were to unexpectedly take a turn for the worse and not have the ability to complete her term, you know, legally he could appoint himself to, you know, fulfill her position in the U.S. Senate. And I think he's got an ego big enough to be able to do that. But again, I don't think that's his ultimate goal, is to be a U.S. senator. I think his ultimate goal is to be president of the United States, and he will continue to play this game, as bizarre as it is. Like, for example, now we have this $25 billion deficit. Well, you know, it's about management. It's about being a chief executive officer of the fifth largest economy in the world. And he doesn't have the skill set to be able to do that. He just doesn't. And I think it's just become very apparent. And Hollywood imagery has propelled him into a chief executive office position in California. And we're stuck with it. And that's why I think it's not to say that we cannot take it upon ourselves again to start another recall movement on this guy. For, you know, mismanagement of the state with a $25 billion budget deficit. I mean, just because you got recalled once doesn't mean you can't be recalled twice. And I look at people like the failed Gascon recall attempt. And how many attempts were there against him? Three or four?
Oh, yeah.
And how many millions of dollars was squandered by campaign consultants? It has to be an organic, homogenized movement, so to speak, to make these recalls work. You can't rely strictly upon paid political hacks, and you can't rely upon paid political consultants. It doesn't work. It fails miserably.
What do you think Joe Biden thinks about Gavin Newsom when the cameras aren't on?
Well, you know, he wouldn't meet with him at the White House. He had his wife meet with him. You know, when he was there, when Alex Michelson, our friend Alex Michelson, was, you know, following him around when he went to his golden retreat there and met with Ron Klain, the chief of staff, but, you know, Biden himself wouldn't meet with him. This guy's problematic, and he's problematic within the establishment of the Democratic Party. And if I was Joe Biden, the last person I wanted to do is have that guy anywhere near me. Period. End of story. Maybe he can give him the ambassadorship to India. says it looks like Garcetti's going nowhere.
Randy Economy.
Becoming ambassador to India.
Former spokesman for the effort to recall California Governor Gavin Newsom. You can follow him on Twitter at Economy Radio. Randy Economy, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks, John. Keep up the great work and keep going on, my friend.
You too. So crime is obviously spiking here in Southern California, but Randy, we're not the only ones in the state of California experiencing a rise in crime.
That's right. Even though it's not as flashy and smashy as last year, the smasher grabs are still occurring in parts of the Bay Area, including a camera shop where they got $120,000 worth of merchandise stolen in one night.
Wow, is that a record?
It might be. For more, here's KTVU.
And now there's a San Francisco camera shop robbed by a group of men. The total haul, close to $180,000. Our crime reporter Henry Lee is live outside the shop in Union Square with reaction to this latest smash and grab. Henry.
Now, before we get to Henry, let's just talk this through for a moment, shall we? Let's say you're a criminal, or let's say it's a conspiracy and there's a group of criminals who have decided they're going to go out for a robin. If you decide that you're going to go out for a robin one night, wouldn't you assume that if there's any shop in the entire city of San Francisco that's going to have surveillance footage, it's going to be the camera shop?
Well, you got to remember, this is still COVID times, and surveillance footage is useless if you're wearing a mask.
It's true.
Yeah, this Leica shop has been closed since the robbery, the latest victim of retail theft in San Francisco, despite a promised crackdown by the mayor and police chief.
Yeah, London Breed, I thought you said this wasn't going to happen anymore.
And less tolerant of all the bullshit that has destroyed our city.
She might be distracted this month because, John, Tony are coming to Morongo.
I saw that. We've been running ads on the radio station nonstop.
Feel like she's going to fly down to the Coachella Valley for that one. The spirit will move her.
The display cases inside this jewelry store in San Francisco's Union Square are empty. The store's owner, Shirley, says that's because of a late-night break-in 2 years ago.
Broke the window right here, jumped up through the window, break the door.
Shirley, who didn't want her face shown, says the safety precautions she takes are a must.
Smash and grab, that's the real problems right now.
Straight up.
The woman speaks the truth.
Smash and grab. That's the real problems right now. So we keep the door locked, and we don't basically don't display anything inside the shop.
Why have a store? You literally cannot shop at this jewelry store.
Okay. How do you move product? If the door is locked and there's nothing on display, what makes you any different from someone selling stuff out of the trunk of their car?
I don't know how anybody makes it in retail in 2022.
So we keep the door locked, and we don't display anything inside the shop.
So what, is there a catalog? You point to it? Maybe they have a paper, like a note card picture of what all the rings and the necklaces look like. And after you give them your ID, then they'll let you look at it.
Maybe it's just like a game of charades where they just try to show you what the item would look like and you have to use your imagination.
So we keep the door locked and we don't display anything inside the shop.
Merchants say they're concerned after four men with a gun invaded the Leica camera shop near Grant and Bush at about 1:15 Saturday afternoon. They smashed display cases.
They're not even waiting for nightfall anymore.
1:15 in the afternoon.
On a Saturday.
In San Francisco.
Well, it was Small Business Saturday, so maybe they wanted to use their patronage to get a local retailer instead of going after Nordstrom again.
You know, you look at some of these old Westerns on TV, and they've got some dispute that needs to be settled. When would they settle the dispute? High noon. High noon was what they always used to say, because they wanted everyone in town to see them settle the dispute. They are robbing this camera shop at close to high noon, and they do not care.
They smashed display cases with hammers. San Francisco police tell me the men made off with equipment worth $178,000.
How much do you have to verify that? Like, I'm just saying, it's horrible. I understand you're the victim of a smash and grab robbery, but, you know, is it possible that you tell the insurance company they stole $180,000 worth of merchandise when it was $8,000 worth of...
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Merchandise.
Wait, you think this woman's participating in an insurance scam?
I'm not saying it's a scam. I'm saying maybe you exaggerate a little.
They smashed display cases with hammers. San Francisco police tell me the men made off with equipment worth $178,000. The store now closed until further notice.
Very sad.
It's a bad holiday season for the camera shop.
Jingle bells.
The store now closed until further notice.
Very sad. I feel sorry for the owner. Hope they have insurance.
The robbery.
I hope they do too.
What, you think that's a guilty conscience, huh?
Hey, the insurance companies have been robbing us for years. It's time we get our due.
Well, if you have to keep the door locked and you can't put anything on display, maybe you have to commit insurance fraud to make a buck.
The robbery happened just days after San Francisco Mayor London Breed and Chief Bill Scott promised to crack down on retail theft after a holiday crime spree last year. On Monday, we saw San Francisco police out in force, hoping to give shoppers and merchants some measure of peace. We also saw this ambassador in an orange shirt taking a post near the Dragon Gate entrance to Chinatown across from the camera store.
That's right. If anyone's going to stop crime, it's Urban Alchemy.
Now, wait a minute. If they had a social worker right outside the camera shop and they still got robbed at high noon, what does that tell you about the social workers and their ability to fight crime?
They're just lucky they didn't get stabbed.
We also saw this ambassador in an orange shirt taking a post near the Dragon Gate entrance to Chinatown across from the camera store.
A $200,000 loss for a small business like this could be the difference between them staying in business and them shuttering.
Wait a minute. It ballooned up to $200,000. Wasn't it $160,000 just a couple of seconds ago?
I told you, you got to exaggerate. Got to get that full claim.
What is it going to be at the end of this rap?
A $200,000 loss for a small business like this could be the difference between them staying in business and them shuttering.
San Francisco Supervisor Asha Safai has made retail theft one of his priorities.
This is not a right-wing conspiracy. This is not something that can be brushed under the rug. And so it takes sustained effort, focus, and attention to turn the tide.
Shirley says she relies on regular customers to stay in business.
Walk-ins, no.
You can't walk into the jewelry store. Again, this isn't the owner of the camera shop. They didn't do the interview. This is a woman who has a jewelry store next door. They got robbed 2 years ago. And her policies since that robbery are, okay, the door is locked. There's nothing in the display case, and we do not allow walk-ins.
Okay, so you've got whatever customer base that exists in that part of Chinatown, and they're your regular customers. But if you're going to a jewelry store, wouldn't you go to a jewelry store for some sort of, oh, I don't know, event that would be celebrated? You're engaged. You're getting married. Something like that? How many times do people in Chinatown get engaged or married?
You know, in the holiday seasons, you do a lot of window shopping. I was just in Santa Fe. You go on Palace Boulevard downtown, and there's all these jewelry shops with this beautiful turquoise jewelry. I'm not going in if I don't see what product you have.
No.
Walk-ins, no.
Somehow she's still in business.
You know, the whole clientele has changed.
She says she's worried that incidents like the camera shop robbery will scare off customers.
It's basically no shopper come to San Francisco. Seriously. You know, it's very sad.
No shoppers.
Wait a minute. It's a big city with lots of stores. Of course people, in theory, would go to San Francisco to shop.
Not according to this owner.
It's basically no shopper come to San Francisco. Seriously. You know. It's very sad.
Anyone with information about the camera store robbery is asked to contact SFPD. Live in San Francisco, Henry Lee, KTVU, Fox 2 News.
Henry, thank you.
Okay, here's a prediction. If this woman that owns the jewelry store is keeping the door locked and there's no items on display and she only allows the regular customers to come in and purchase jewelry, then that means, I would imagine, she's only open for business to the people in the immediate neighborhood that she knows, correct?
That's what you would think, yeah.
Okay. And since we're talking about Chinatown, I would imagine that many of her customers are Chinese, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you are looking up a jewelry store and you find this jewelry store on Yelp or in some sort of publication, advertising, Google, whatever the case may be, and you show up and they show or you see, you witness people who live in Chinatown who are allowed to shop there, but you are not allowed to shop there, it's only a matter of time before this woman gets sued for some kind of discrimination.
And it's at that point she'll be really glad that she exaggerated on the insurance forms.
Well, since we decided to open up the KABC crime blotter, we thought we might as well tell you about the bus that got hijacked, too.
You know, typically you think of crime on a city bus, whether it's in Los Angeles or San Francisco. You assume it's the people that are the passengers that are the one that get robbed by the shifty meth head. But how about you're sitting on the bus and the person driving the bus is the one that gets robbed and what they want is the bus?
Uh-oh.
With a developing story from San Francisco, police have arrested a person accused of assaulting a Muni bus driver and taking control of that bus driver's bus in Bernal Heights.
Maybe he just wanted to live out his best speed fantasy.
Wasn't that a Spike Lee movie, Get on the Bus?
The carjacker damaged the bus as well as injured another driver in its path. KTVU's Emma Goss joins us now live from the scene where officers responded near 19th and Guerrero. Good morning, Emma.
Good morning. We're in the Mission, and the bus drove about a mile and a half before it ended up here at this intersection last night. We know that it struck as many as 10 vehicles.
Is that her regular voice, or is she congested? I mean, I know this isn't, you know, this isn't Market 1 talent. This is Market 10 talent, but what's going on here?
Now, wait a minute. The bus hit 10 parked cars, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Good morning. We're in the Mission, and the bus drove about a mile and a half before it ended up here at this intersection last night. We know that it struck as many as 10 vehicles on its path toward here. The bus was also pretty scraped up. We did see in Citizen app video when the bus was parked on 19th and Guerrero shortly after the incident, which happened just before 8 p.m. We could see the bus was flashing with the front lights saying emergency, contact 911, contact police. And
I guess she's doing this report for the blind people that couldn't see the video.
Well, wait a minute. Was it the person who was driving the bus who got robbed who put the emergency lights on? Or was it the person who stole the bus who put the emergency lights on with hopes that that would motivate people to just get out of the way?
And police did respond. They were able to transport the bus driver who was injured in an ambulance. They were also able to transport another person who was injured, a driver of a separate vehicle who was hit by that bus.
Hey, buddy, 833-88-SHARK. It'll save your life.
Hit by that bus on its path toward here. They're in the hospital. They were taken there with non-life-threatening injuries. Police have not given any information as to what led to this carjacking of the Muni bus or where the person was trying to go or any details about the suspect.
Yeah, what do you, you know, maybe in a carjacker's best fantasy, they could steal someone's car and the police won't be able to figure it out. What do you get from stealing a bus?
Well, and I don't understand what the big mystery is over the motive. The person is a criminal. They don't have the bus. They want a bus, so they took a bus.
It was their big lifelong fantasy, be a bus driver. And maybe at gunpoint, he'd get all the passengers to sing Hail to the bus driver man.
Yeah, this is not a Rubik's Cube. We still don't have a motive for why the individual stole the bus and hit all those parked cars and injured another driver.
Can't wait to see that interrogation.
As soon as we get those details, we'll bring them to you live here on the morning's program.
Questions?
We've got one more hour coming up on the John Phillips Show. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
I'll be back. Get out. The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.